Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends. You know, sometimes when a man has an upper hand in a situation, he'll ask the other person the question, "Who's your daddy?" And what he's saying is, "Who's in charge here? Who has the authority here?" Well, I'm going to ask you the question, who's your daddy? Do you live by every word of God, or do you live by the word of Satan? God always speaks the truth. Satan always speaks a lie. In fact, Satan was the first to lie. That's why he's called the father of lies. So he's the daddy of lies. And we'll see this in John chapter 8. And verses 44 through 45. This is in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, and verses 44 through 45. Here it says, Jesus, in talking to the scribes and Pharisees, said, "You are of your father, the devil." That's who your daddy is. He's telling them this. "You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he did not abide in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me." Now, going back to you, if you claim to be a Christian, but live according to Satan's lie, then your daddy is the devil. I know these are strong words, but I'm speaking the truth with all my strength so that I can be used of God the Father and Jesus the Christ to pry you away from the devil and his deceivers. I want you, and more importantly, God wants you, to be like Antipas. You say, Antipas? Well, who is Antipas? Well, I'm going to tell you. Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 2. And we'll read verse 13. This is in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, and verse 13. Because this person, Antipas, he was someone who was against the father of lies, Satan the devil, and he was also someone who was against those who Satan was leading. So his daddy was God the Father. And that's why God, our Father, wants you to be like Antipas. Let's read about him. God is speaking to the church in Pergamos when he says, "I know your works and where you live, even where Satan's seat is. You hold on tight to my name and have not denied my faith, even in those days in which Antipas, my faithful martyr, was slain among you where Satan dwells." So the risen Christ calls Antipas my faithful martyr. The word martyr comes from the Greek word martus, which is M-A-R-T-U-S, which is normally translated witness. For instance, if you turn back just one chapter to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, you'll see that the risen Christ himself is called the faithful witness. And this word witness is from the same Greek word martus. But in chapter 2 verse 13, the word martus is translated into our English word martyr, whereas in Revelation chapter 1 verse 5, the word martyr is translated into the word witness. So witness and being a martyr in the first century, in the early church stages, was often the same thing. To be a witness meant in many times that you would have to be slain. You would become a martyr. So the word can be used interchangeably. But Antipas did not shrink back from boldly proclaiming the name of Jesus as Savior and Lord. As a result, Antipas is commended by the title bestowed upon him, which is my faithful martyr, or we can say my faithful witness. And this is a great honor that he receives this title, because as we have seen in Revelation chapter 1 verse 5, it is the title for Christ himself. And so Christ attributes the title of the faithful witness to himself, and he also attributes the same title, the faithful witness, to Antipas. And both Jesus and Antipas died for preaching the truth. So Antipas was God's faithful martyr who was slain where Satan dwells. In other words, he was slain in a place where Satan had a lot of authority over people. So we could ask the question of the people in the area of Pergamos, who's your daddy? And the answer would have to be Satan the devil. But Antipas was contrary to that. His daddy was not Satan the devil. His daddy was God the Father. And it's so interesting, the words that God uses in the Bible, the words that he inspired the writers of the Bible to use. I say this because there's rich meaning in the name Antipas. Antipas is a contraction of the word anti-pater, which in turn is a combination of two Greek words. The first Greek word is anti, which means against. And then the second Greek word is pater, which means father. So anti-pater means against father. So Antipas was someone, or represented someone, who was against the father. Now, we know that this cannot mean that Antipas was against God our Father, because he's called God's faithful witness. Therefore, it has to mean that Antipas was against the father of lies, Satan the devil, and against those who represented the father of lies. Now, who represented the father of lies in the early church days? Well, remember that Jesus was speaking to the scribes and Pharisees when he said to them, "You are of your father the devil." And who were the scribes and Pharisees? They were the religious authorities, or the fathers of the day. And they were the ones leading people astray. Listen to Yeshua's rebuke of these fathers, these religious authorities. This is found in Matthew chapter 23 and verses 5 through 15. This is the Gospel of Matthew chapter 23 and verses 5 through 15. Jesus is talking to them, the scribes and Pharisees, and he says, "The scribes and Pharisees do all their works in order to be seen of men, and they love sitting in the chief seats in the synagogues and to be called Rabbi, Rabbi by men. But you," and he's talking to the people here about the scribes and Pharisees, "but you must not be called Rabbi, nor call anyone else Rabbi. For there is only one who is your teacher, that is Jesus the Christ. And you, the rest of you, are all brothers." So there's only one person who really should be called Rabbi as the authority to teach you, and that is Jesus the Christ. And then, as people follow Christ, then you can follow those people, but only follow those people as they follow Christ. And obviously the scribes and Pharisees were not following Christ as the one true teacher, the one true rabbi. They were actually leading people away from Christ. Not following Christ, but leading people away from Christ. So he's saying, don't go around calling anybody rabbi, because there's only one rabbi, and that is Christ. The rest of you are all brothers. So therefore, nobody has authority over another person in the sense to tell them something contrary to the word of God. No, that's blasphemy for you to follow someone in rebellion against God. You need to follow God. That's who your daddy needs to be. And going back to the scripture, verse 11, Jesus says, or actually, let's read in verse 9. So Jesus says, "Call no one your father on earth, for there is only one who is your father, and he is in heaven." So again, Jesus is saying, listen, don't ascribe this ultimate title of father. Who's your daddy? Who's in authority over you? There's only one, and that's God the Father in heaven. Don't go around calling other people father in the sense that they have authority over you to tell you to do something contrary to God. No, we ought to obey God rather than man. Now, of course, our physical fathers, our earthly fathers, it's okay to call them father. And spiritually speaking, we have Abraham as our father, as the scripture says. So it's not wrong to call somebody father or to say he's my father in the faith, like Paul even said to Timothy, that he was Timothy's spiritual father, so to speak, his father in the faith. Abraham is called the father of the faithful. So that's not a problem. But why is it not a problem? It's not a problem because these people who were ministers of Jesus Christ were leading people to follow Christ and to follow Christ's Father, which is God the Father, and also their Father. So it's not a problem as long as we follow those who are following Christ. And Christ, of course, is following the Heavenly Father. So that's not a problem. It just means that we should call no one our Father on earth, in the sense that Father carries this connotation of this person has authority over me. And if we allow someone to have authority over us who is not leading us in the way of God, but in fact is leading us contrary to the way of God, then we ought not to be calling them Father. We ought not to be submitting to their authority, because there is only one Father, only one authority that we have to answer to ultimately. That's the understanding here. And Antipas was like that. He was against Satan the devil, and he was against the false fathers, those spiritual authorities within the church that actually were leading people astray, leading people away from following the truth of God, from following Christ himself and God the Father. That's what Antipas was all about. He was against the religious authorities that were leading people astray. And we see this example of Jesus talking to the people about the scribes and Pharisees and saying that they are the religious authorities, but they're leading you astray. Don't call them rabbi. Don't call them father. Don't yield yourselves to their authority, because they are not invested with authority from heaven to teach the junk that they're teaching. And so the message that we see here is that we should not be following any religious authorities, any religious teachings that are contrary to the Word of God. If you know something is contrary to the Word of God, I'm not telling you that you need to leave the congregation, but you do need to not follow that particular doctrine. And then if you see more doctrines that amount to a lot of things that just do not rest well with you because they're contrary to the Scriptures, then perhaps you need to think about leaving. All right, and just finishing up in this chapter here, it says in verse 11, "He who is greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and whoever shall humble himself shall be exalted. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. You neither go in nor do you allow those entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you devour widows' houses and pray at length as a pretense. Therefore you shall receive the greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you go all over the earth. You go on sea and dry land to make one proselyte," which means one person converted to following them. "And yet when you have done this, you have made this person a proselyte, a follower of yours. You've became his father. You've become his daddy. Then you make him twice more the child of hell than yourselves." And that is a strong combination. The religious authorities or fathers of that day were the ones leading people astray, and the same is true today. And what are some of the lies that spew forth out of the mouth of the modern false day prophets? Well, we'll cover that in our next program. Thank you for joining me on this program, and may God be in you.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org. Or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.